Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Well, welcome back to Circles of Change, our final segment. And as I mentioned at the beginning of our show today, this is kind of winding down for me here at 104.1. It's been a great 6 years, plus actually 7 years, but 5 here on doing our show live from Tucson. And now we're going to be 100% mobile. Make sure to pick up that smartphone and send a simple text message of Dr. Zara to 3131 and follow us as we go mobile 100%. Well, I've got a segment right now. We're going to call it Changes in the Nest, Around the Nest, and the Nest Itself. And, of course, I don't think I'm more than a robin or a red cardinal. Maybe we'll try to be an eagle every now and then. Or maybe we live in a riparian sector, so we'll go for one of the raptors. And no greater partner for me to do this segment with than my husband, Ted Larson. Welcome to the show, Ted.
Thanks.
Well, we went out to dinner last night, and we'll fill in the blanks a little bit. And as we were walking out, Ted, we are walking into the restaurant. We passed a family, and there sat a little girl with blonde curly hair, kind of humid here in Tucson of all times of year. And didn't it take us right back together?
Yeah, just like Jay-Z. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, our daughter, who is 16 and has made the decision to leave the nest, as we'll say, 2 years earlier than typical with her decision to return to the East Coast to go back to high school. What a conversation that was when that happened, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
So what were your feelings, sweetheart, when we walked by that table?
Well, just remembered that, you know, what it was like when you were so totally involved with everything. You had to cut their food and put their bib on and every aspect of it, and now you're not so much. And what that change does, you know. And I know it's all around us. And even in the show, I was thinking about the first time that we did this show, and Paul Pearson, who we referenced earlier, and him being involved in it. And, you know, now Paul's gone and on to another place. And it changes. Everything moves.
So for Jordan's case, she came to us last fall. For our listeners, we've mentioned this a couple times in the show, and felt that she was really ready for even a stronger pre-college experience than her Tucson school could afford her, and wanted to wrap up high school by going off to a boarding school. And lo and behold, she put her shoulder down, probably a combination of your and my genes, and made it happen. And so she did it. We're in this kind of temporary mode because she's off at her new school for 5 weeks to do their summer program. Come back to Tucson, and then she goes back full-time. But, you know, I think you and I were talking all along, this was really a time for her to test drive her new school and get assimilated. But what are we really finding out?
Yeah, it's more about everybody. It's not just her. It's me trying to figure out, you know, how this all going to work with me. The other day, I realized that I could have worked it out with a 6-ounce steak rather than an 8, you know. And so, you know, paring down what we cook, the amount we cook, and the aspect that the house is really quiet, is staggeringly quiet. And
I know many of you listeners are out there that have gone through this process in advance of Ted and I. And so you're probably telling us and reflecting all too clearly that, yep, we know what you're going through. In our case, we met and got married later in life, and we had our first child, our son Jake, who's a rising junior in college, within 11 months after we got married. And so now to suddenly be without children, so to speak, although 2 dogs, 2 lizards, and a horse have other commotions in your life, but nothing like the interaction that you feel with your children, they're near at hand.
Mm-hmm. And it's just that middle ground. It's the things that you did for them that seemed so normal and so routine. And those, at the time, you think, wow, could I get a break? Could I just get a break to sit down and have a coffee or whatever? And now you find that that's the piece that you're missing, is those the small things.
I think we probably could back up a little bit for the benefit of those who haven't followed the show. My journey in establishing the Larson Group, or actually moving it from your hands to mine, Architects of Change, was a metaphor that Ted and I struck on, because he is a literal architect. I'm the figurative one in terms of helping people and organizations change. Ted has a background in actually both conventional structural architecture as well as landscape architecture. But we came to Tucson. It's coming up on 10 years ago, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And who would have thought the journey, you make an intention and a step forward to go do this, but you would have never thought what else comes in your aperture.
No, it didn't go how we thought from the start. So, but it did turn out okay.
It turned out fabulously. But what brought us originally to Tucson was a career opportunity for me, which we flourished in the process, and also my flying back and forth back to the Midwest for a doctorate degree. Ted, your journey when we came here was intended to really go deeper into landscape architecture, but then you found yourself itching to do artist and work again, and then it really was a radio show that took us in a new direction, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. The landscape program that I had become part of, I was grandpa in this deal, and so it didn't have a lot of career shift people in it, so to speak, and so it was just a different dynamic to be part of that program. So, well, it wasn't a fit for me, and so I started to look elsewhere.
I think the message or thought we wanted to share in this segment today, it isn't you just weren't looking, but also we were kind of opening our eyes to possibility to see what might show up. And if I recall, after we had had a guest on our show, gone out to dinner, and I'd asked him, you know, you've never done a book of your work. It was a local artist. And he said, yeah, well, I'm too old. I guess it'll never happen. And as our listeners for today's show caught, we just did a segment on what would have been the second book that you did. But before you know it, Ted steps in and said, well, we can do that. And almost 90 days to the day, we had a boxes of books to debut at the Tucson Festival of Books. And there you are, voila, in the publishing world.
Well, we've done 12 books now. And, you know, one of them I was forced to do that was my own in the midst of this. And so it really has gone full circle. In the beginning, it was a lot of bravado. I thought, how hard can this deal be? Because I built tools as big as this building, and, you know, how hard can it be to make a book? I just didn't lend a lot of credence to what everybody had said. I only knew that they had sent a lot of this work to China, and there was an opportunity to bring it back because of a container subsidy change that had happened on quantities less than 5,000 units. So I saw that as an opportunity. But like I said, this book that I even did for myself, I was almost forced into that also, because the story was entrusted me, and I felt I had to do it. That was that Legend of the Blue Horse book.
And, you know, one of our segments we just had in this show, the gentlemen that are creating Sensible Vision, they talked about how companies were formed in the 80s and outsourcing in the 90s. And now in this millennial, really looking at this idea of virtual companies and recognizing you can snatch talent and the best ideas and be nimble and quick by capitalizing in a much bigger footprint. Now, you would call that social manufacturing, because that's what you've done for Night Horses, isn't it?
That's right. And in general, the big shift is, you know, when we did, one of the first tools I made were to reaction injection mold rocker panels for IROC Camaros back. Nobody would remember what that was, but anyway, And they were really large tools and lots of capital investment. But now the manufacturing process and in being able to make things quickly and change course and create something for a short-term need is really, I believe, where it's at. We don't no longer think about a tool having a life of 10 years or 8 years or whatever. We're going to make this piece, this part right now and be done with it and not worry about it. There's going to be another opportunity come up next and we're going to make whatever that is next.
And that's a metaphor for businesses and in many regards a metaphor for those of you listening like Ted and I look that to say that I'm really glad we live in a changing world. Because I'm glad that, yes, I miss our daughter and our son, but I'm glad for that phase that then it opens up doors for us in a new way to press forward.
You know, so many of us grew up with parents that went to the same job for their whole life. They worked 37 years in the same facility, in the same building, and the same lunchbox thermos bottle, and so we grew up watching that, and we can't help but attempt to emulate that. And then when you realize that the world and the economy is not working that way anymore, and to be able to decide that that you can leave that moral aspect of that aside now and say, it doesn't have to be done that way. And I read an article a while ago that had a big impact on me, and it started out because the guy was a Ferrari owner, which I just love them as as art, as work and sculpture. And he started a pearl business in Vietnam in former rice paddies where he was harvesting pearls. And he knew that it wasn't going to last very long, but he didn't seem to be worried about it. And he had started literally hundreds of businesses there, and then they would do something until the economy would change and somebody would shut them down or whatever,
the land was sold, or the competition would run them out.
Somebody else would learn how to do this, and so it wasn't an issue of getting a patent so somebody could be on with his technology. It was just getting it done. I get this done. I made enough money, I bought another Ferrari, and I'm on to the next item, and who knows what the next thing was. And it just struck me as that it was really influential, very just a beautiful aspect of it versus where we grew up thinking you had to have the same job for a long period of time. And really, in the last 16 years since I left my career job, you know, it's been groups of about 5 years at a time.
And the likewise, if I look at the work that we've done at the Larson Group in these 10 years, and specifically the last 8, the opportunity to shift amongst a variety of different clients that's kept me very vibrant and challenged in learning new things and also recognizing the types of approaches or styles that I used in one type of organization may not work in another, or what worked before is being outdated by something else. And whether that be the role of technology or just how people are interfacing is prompting great opportunities to add value for those of us who want to spot a need and then go fill the need.
True. When you look at things in our book world, when we came to the realization that rather than pay somebody to figure out the market penetration of something, that we produce a book digitally in a completely different process than the lithographic mode to gauge the market on something. And there was no loss involved in it. It was just work. And you produce this item and you do the work yourself and then you find out. And then it gives you the direction as to where you go from there.
And sure enough, that short digital run led to then saying, absolutely, the market scooped up those books. That's back to the legend of Blue Horse. So now you can do then a full digital run. Mm-hmm. we mentioned about the changes in our personal life with our daughter moving on. Of course, right at the same time this is going on, we had our son tell us back at Christmas time that he wanted to live off campus, which I'm sure there are many listeners have gone through the same cycle with their children. And then he says at the same time that he'd like to, more than likely, stay at his college and pursue a master's degree directly. And once you do the math, you say as parents, well, then why are we paying dorm fees? And perhaps now's the time to make an investment and give our son the opportunity to become landlord light, we can call it, attract roommates. But also just that idea of home ownership and responsibility. And so no sooner are we into the mode of preparing our daughter for her move than we also just enabled a move for our son at the same time, didn't we?
That's right. And it opened up another view of another city. I knew he was going to school there. We'd spent some time there.
Savannah, Georgia.
But it didn't force me to take a good hard look at this city as a place to live and a place to own until that came up.
We talked about in this context of the energy of places too, of what allows people to flourish, and it's someplace different for everyone, and certainly we've enjoyed what we've been involved with here for 10 years now in Southern Arizona in the Southwest. But to watch the creative economy of Savannah taking off, and that creative economy obviously includes a phenomenal art school that has 6,000 undergraduates, and it's organized such that the university has restored 45 buildings across the entire topography of the historic district, so it's not clustered in one particular area. But also at the same time, most people don't know that Savannah, Georgia is the second largest shipping port in the United States.
That's right, and it's also one that has a lot more uptime than the other ones in Charleston and New Jersey because they are more heavily targeted with the hurricane season. And Savannah is actually due south of Pittsburgh. And so in the scheme of things, it's more inland than those others. And so it actually has more uptime in the shipping world.
So the idea of our young son being involved in the creative economy, he's, like we said, a rising junior. But at the same time, we can see Jake now envisioning actually staying longer than that. Those years for his degree, and even starting to put the dream out there.
He is. He's dreaming, and it's truly when I realized that everything was going to be okay, because I remember that same thing. When I got out of the apprentice school and worked on a Bridgeport mill, and I realized how truly gifted I was at it, and it was just something that clicked. It fit me, and it was intuitive with me. And that same thing I'm seeing in Jake, where he's dreaming about where this is going to go, and he's dreaming about having his Cintiq equipment that he can cartoon on,
which is the high-end design system that's used in his field and his craft. I'm certain we've got listeners now appreciating that. I think there's no finer thing as a parent than to watch when does that click happen for your child, and whether you get the chance to spot it early, as we happened to in Jake when he was like 4 years old, his passion for cartooning. And it comes to youth at different times. Shoot, it comes to us adults at different times. But then to start kind of stepping back and letting the waves kind of roll the way they will, and how he's going to choose to live on them.
Mm-hmm. And it's many other things that fit into that whole. It's not only this creative economy that you mentioned, but it's the creative confidence that follows. And for him, as well as other people, there's in Savannah, there's a major investor that came from Atlanta that bought and is renovating 25 commercial properties at the same time.
At the same time, yeah.
And his mega yacht is in the river there. And, you know, that confidence that this guy shows has been crucial to so many other things. Like the, right across the street, there's a new popcorn emporium that's got 250 different kinds. And, you know, I believe that that was a really important decision for this guy in launching that, based on the fact that there was this confidence from a really, really big investor that was coming in that gave him the confidence to say, look, I'm going to rent 450 square feet and sell, what was his, some kind of Elvis popcorn.
Elvis had, popcorn, that's
had,
right.
Had banana chocolate covered whatever.
But, you know, you bring a really important point here, and I venture to offer this to anyone who's in a place of influence in our community, in our government, whether that be local, regional, state, national government. It's that confidence of its leaders, business leaders included, that allows the new talent, the new energy to survive and to really embrace this idea of the changing world. Or like Jack Kulawick just said in our prior segment, that I'm glad I live in a colorful world, that I'm glad I'm in a place that offers vibrancy and changing. Now, for those of us that are experiencing changes in the nest, as I said, our daughter leaving 2 years earlier than planned, and for us on a deep personal level, the changes around the nest. And so we're saying to ourselves, well, maybe we need changes in the nest itself. So for you and I, we're getting our house painted in the next couple weeks. So we're looking forward to Frank Noriega and his son Danny helping us with that. We're really winnowing out the stuff. So I think the folks at Goodwill, Salvation Army, other churches are looking forward to every time I swing in their parking lot with things I want to donate. But I think this kind of opportunity for everyone in this day and age, particularly coming off this recessionary period, because we think we are coming off of it, to step back and reflect on where are you really standing, what's really important to you, and how did that change in that nest, that metaphor of your place you live, but also the kind of people that you have surrounding you is important to assess.
I believe that's true. The query really comes when there's so many things moving at the same time.
Yeah.
And then you're really unsure of so many things about do I keep this or throw this away?
Yeah. But I think
because next week I might need this.
I might need this, yes, and that's why we justify the step. But I think there's thus an element of certainly relying on faith and knowing that it really isn't our plan anyways. We're just orchestrating what the higher power is destining us to become more of.
Right.
And this idea that now is the time actually to live in the world of possibility and to enjoy just being out on the trapeze and maybe you let go of that bar and just hang out there and wait for the fresh breeze to come your way.
Mm-hmm. There's an element of that that's become really important. And, you know, I think the confidence factor, again, is where we're waiting for that next thing, like when you brought up the book, and when I walked in to talk to John Davis at Arizona Lithographers, and he was very confident. He was very pointed with me, saying, you can do that. I'm sure you can do that. And I'd never done anything near that. And so it's whoever that next confidence builder that's around the corner that's going to, I'm going to get an idea from, that's going to give me the impetus to move on to something else.
You bet. And the same as goes for all of us. So the idea for any of you, you are an architect of change. It's your choice whether or not you're going to step out there and embrace what might be coming, the changes in the nest, around the nest itself, and that metaphor, whether it be in your personal or your professional life. Thanks so much, Ted, for joining me in the conversation.
Thank you.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.